I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What have you done with what you've discovered? What have you done with what you've discovered? Hide it? Hope not. You know, no hiding it. Last time I was up here, we're talking about the guy who buried the treasure in the field. And after comparing his kingdom to this treasure that a man found and reburied in a field, Jesus later warns with another parable. But I find this very interesting, because that one, the guy finds it and he reburies it. And as we saw, that's where it ended. But later, Jesus warns four of his disciples, Peter, Andy, Jim, and John, with another parable, not to be like the guy who left his talent buried rather than invested. I'm very interested seeing those two things back to back. Because see, after you find it, and once you've secured it, you got to invest it. This isn't optional. You got to invest it. Here's the ending of that story. You see, the one talent man came and said, "Lord, I hid your talent in the ground." But his Lord answered and said to him, I think this might have surprised him, "Well, you wicked and lazy servant, take the talent from him and give it to him who," the guy who doubled his five, "and has 10 talents. And then Jesus says, "For to everyone who has what? Well, from the story, who has been faithful over a few things, more will be given, of course. But from him who does not have that faithfulness, even over a few things, even what he has will be taken away." Because real simple message this morning, and here it is. We got to use it or lose it. That's it. It's not a threat. This isn't Jesus giving a threat. It's just the reality of how our time and our talents and our treasures hold up down here. This is one of my favorite stories. Maybe because I grew up in a wrecking yard. 1957, okay, the city of Tulsa, Oklahoma decided to do the time capsule to end all time capsules, and they buried a brand new Plymouth Belvedere in a concrete vault. 50 years later, in 2007, they sold raffle tickets for this thing. It was a big deal. It was to be buried 50 years. They even sold raffle tickets in 1957. Okay, and it was all billed like somebody's going to own this priceless antique. And so 2007, 9,000 people packed the convention center for what they were calling Miss Belvedere's unveiling. I'm just going to quote, "Pulling the rotting plastic wrap away revealed the true state of the car, a heartbreaking rusted pile of metal. The interior had completely rotted away." Oh, gosh. "And the engine rusted solid with no hope of ever starting again. Because buried talents are taken away." Again, not a threat. Not a threat. Just the truth. Turns out, this world is merciless to buried Belvederes. So don't bury your Belvedere. This reminds me of Jesus' classic warning, right? To store up for yourselves, because no one can do this for you, for yourselves, treasures in heaven. You go, in heaven? In heaven. Store them up in heaven. Where moth, I want you to listen real close here, because I'm going to put a spin on this in just a little bit. I don't know how many angry emails I'm going to get, but I'm going to put a spin on it I don't think we've heard before. Where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Okay? For where your treasure is, in heaven, right? You stored up in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart will be in heaven? Well, you got one of two options. Either your heart will be in heaven or heaven will be in your heart. But they're in the same place. Back to that parable about the guy that reburies it, finds it in the field. We focus on the man, right, in that parable who found the treasure in the field. Wow, I found the treasure. But think about the one before him, the man who hid it and left it and lost the chance to spend it and enjoy it. I want to read you something that the absurdly rich King Solomon wrote. And boy, if anybody knew this, he did. He wrote, "There is a grievous evil which I have seen under the sun." That, by the way, that's another way of saying down here, under the sun. That's his way. "That I've seen down here, that I've seen under the sun. Riches being hoarded by their owner to his hurt." It's like, do something with them. We catch a glimpse of this in one of the best climaxes, in one of the best movies, in my opinion. It is in the climax of Schindler's List, when the once greedy businessman realizes the only meaningful value in saving money is being able to use it to save and help others. Take a look.
"I could have got more. I don't know if I just... I could have got more.
Asuka, there are 1,100 people who are alive because of you. Look at them.
If I'd made more money... I threw away so much money. You have no idea. If I just...
There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough.
You did so much.
This car. Good, what about this car? Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. 10 people. 10 more people. This pin. 2 people. This is gold. 2 more people. You would have given me 2 for at least 1. You would have given me 1. 1 more. 1 more person. Person is there. For this. I could have got 1 more person. And I didn't.
That is such a powerful scene. You know? And what holds true here in this movie regarding monetary wealth is all the more profound when applied to the truest treasure of our Father's kingdom, which is first and foremost and above all, the light and life and love of Christ. That's why Solomon says, happy is the man who finds wisdom. That ultimately is the light of Christ. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than profits, the profits of silver. So be encouraged, you know, being knit together in love and attaining to, there's some elbow grease involved here, attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, both of the Father and of Christ, listen up, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They're there. It's right there waiting to be found. I look at that movie clip and I think, can you, I mean, we can't. I was going to say, can you imagine? No, the answer is no, you can't. Can't imagine what it will be like the moment you stand on the other side and all the realizations that are now hidden from us flood in. You know, clear back when the shepherds quoted the angel about the birth of Jesus, they went around because the shepherds were, they're quoting scripture. Or the angels were quoting scripture to the shepherds. The shepherds, it says, went around, told everybody. But look, I've never really noticed this contrast. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, more than amazed, but Mary treasured up all these things. There's a difference between being amazed and treasuring them up. And she pondered them in her heart. Well, I thought we stored up our treasures in heaven now. We do. We do. But she stored them up in her heart. That's true. She did. Because heaven, we've talked about this, heaven is defined by God's presence. Wherever God is, that's heaven. He can't leave heaven. Heaven travels with him, right? And where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is within, Jesus says. And so you store up your treasure in heaven where God is. Because that's where your heart will be if his true treasures come in. See, now we seem to think that Jesus said, I'm going back to my spin on this this little teaching. We seem to think Jesus said to store up our treasure in heaven where moth and rust can't destroy. It doesn't say that. You know, and where thieves can't break in and say, it doesn't say that. It says where they don't. You say, well, what's the difference? Big difference between can't and don't. We seem to think it says where they can't, but that isn't what it says they don't. Because we store it up where the moth and rust don't destroy it. We store it up in here where that thief who breaks in won't steal it. You know why? Because for one, Jesus says, behold, I come like a thief. I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes. Why keeps his clothes? Was that moth eat? And keeps his clothes with him so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. And by the way, I am like a moth. I am like a moth to those who pursue worthless things. Oh, and like decay. So, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. You go, so how do we clothe ourselves with Christ? Well, here's a list. It's from Colossians 3. Clothe yourselves with, in fact, why don't you read it with me? Clothe yourselves, wait, where are we? Colossians, be Colossians. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And overall, put on love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. You let it rule in your heart because that's where eternal riches remain. That's where they stay. That's why you can be thankful. Don't let your walk of faith fall somewhere between smoking less and losing 10 pounds, okay? And I used to read my Bible more, and I just got this little list. That's just religious self-help. You know, those are good things, great. But I'm talking about a relationship with a living God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Push past the excuses. Store up your treasure in the only place that's a truly safe. Because in case you haven't noticed how it works down here, man decays like a rotten thing, right? Like a garment that is moth-eaten. Therefore, says the psalmist, your word I have treasured in my heart. Because everything else is falling away. That'll stay. He says, because you rebuke and discipline men for their sin, and you consume their wealth like a moth. And let's face it, each man is but a breath. Yep, a breath away. God's the moth. He's the moth. Our body's the cloth, corroding under the curse of sin that holds us captive by whatever worldly wealth we hold most dear. Until that is, we're truly set free. Jesus says in Revelation, because you say, I am rich, I have need of nothing, and don't know that you are in fact poor, blind, and naked. Therefore, I counsel you to buy from me. Like, wait, he's selling something now? Uh-huh. Salvation. You got to buy it. You got to have more on that in a minute. Buy from me gold refined rather than destroyed in the fire. See, because when the fire comes, it's just about who's still standing. That you may be rich. And white garments, buy those from him. That you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. What's the white linen? Well, Revelation 19:8 actually gives the answer. It says, the fine linen, clean and bright, is the righteous acts of the saints. Clothe yourself with that. And you might know the end of this passage. As many as I love, I rebuke. Therefore, repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's this one. That's this passage, the stand at the door and knock passage. And the reason he stands at the door and knocks is because reconciliation requires reciprocation. Otherwise, well, it's just half the equation. So those are two really big words for me. So I like a picture. Picture the hotel room, okay? Adjoining hotel room doors. You know how they got the two doors connecting the two rooms, okay? Well, Adam's selfish decision in the Garden of Eden deadbolted both doors. But Jesus' selfless decision in the Garden of Gethsemane unlocked and reopened God's door, God's side. And now he stands and knocks on ours. You go, but we got to buy our way in? Got to buy it? Yep. Yep, you do. You see, we've explained this. Salvation is the... In fact, last Sunday, before I read this, 2 weeks ago, was it? I was talking about Paul, where he says, I count everything I have to give up as garbage, right? Yeah, remember we said, you want a definition of grace. I don't remember how I said it, but it's something about the fact that God trades his treasure for garbage. Yeah, it's grace. Yeah, well, salvation is the free gift that's going to cost us every piece of garbage on our puffed up pile. So buy it, because it's this kind of deal you're never going to get again. Incredible deal. But now, once you get it, leaving it buried after the trade, well, that's left up to you. That's left up to each individual investor. Because as Jesus says, and I don't like this, it's because it's true. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter. Well, you know, actually ever enter the kingdom of heaven. Because we enter it here. It doesn't start when we die. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That is, in your heart. That is, if and when his treasures come in. Okay, the one who does the will of my Father. Pop quiz, top two items in our Father's will that we must do. Because Jesus numbers them. Number one, loving him with all our heart. Number two, you know it. What is it?
Love your neighbor yourself.
That's it. Loving others with the lesser but nevertheless unfailing devotion that we offer ourselves. Jesus goes on, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? These are the big guns. Did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Okay? I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And those were the ones teaching and healing, which just goes to show you, Jesus can work with honest ignorance, but he can't stand presumptuous arrogance. Not in his treasure house. He says in another spot, talking about the same thing, he's talking about these dishonest assumers. You, dishonest assumers, you will stand outside, oh, like he did, knocking and pleading like he did and does. Sir, open the door for us. But the owner of the hotel or the house, whichever, will answer, I don't know you. I don't know you or where you come from. Because you see, if you are not coming to Jesus in order to treasure up his word, in order to be transformed into his image, first and foremost and above all, he don't know where you're coming from. And to be honest, I don't either. Like, why would you be here? Where are you coming from? Because here's something we all know. We know that we all possess knowledge. We know that. You know how? Knowledge puffs up. Not, it's obvious to see. But, and this but, it means, you know, we also know that we don't all possess love. You know how? Love builds up. And so you see, the man, the puffed up man, who thinks he knows something, does not yet know as he ought to know if he's puffed up. Because he ought to know, first and foremost, and above all, that he ought to be a love-em-all rather than a know-it-all. But the man who loves, who actually loves God, well, he's known by God. Because wow, can he instantly identify a builder-upper from a puffer-upper? Because it's obvious, because love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Love does not parade itself, and it is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, and does not seek its own. That list is a whole lot longer, but that ought to get you started. Oh, you say, well, okay, but so go back to that scripture. If he who thinks he knows doesn't know as he ought to know, then how can we know when we know enough? We can't, because we can't.
Thanks.
Yeah, take that home. So if you assume you do know enough about anything, if you assume you do, then presume you don't. However, here's the silver lining. We can absolutely know that we love enough. You know how? Love builds up others. You can see it. Love builds up others, and the other puffs up ourselves. And so you can know when you're loving enough. One of the best examples in the Bible of this is in the story of Joseph, Old Testament story of Joseph. Just after he's risen to the highest rank under Pharaoh, having saved all Egypt from a famine, just before he reveals himself to his brothers who had betrayed him for 20 pieces of silver, sound familiar? And now have unknowingly come to him to plead with him to sell them his grain. And they don't even know it's him. And what follows is a sterling example of what happens when we buy what we need from Jesus and secure it and then share what we've stored in our heart. Because you see, Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain. Right there, just stop. You know, here's what it doesn't say. Joseph gave orders to kill them mercilessly on the spot. Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain, and then, and this is the Jesus twist always, to put each man's silver back in his sack, because you can't outgive God. And, as if that wasn't enough, to give them provisions for their journey. And after this was done for them, they loaded their grain on their donkeys and left. Lesson, once the Lord has provided, we got to get our donkeys in gear and get going. Those right there, I don't know, this kind of thing really delights and excites me. Those are 4,000-year-old Egyptian donkeys right there from Joseph's day. Not crazy. Somebody was carving those when Joseph was around 4,000 years ago. Jealous, Miss Belvedere?
Yes.
This, take a look at this guy. This is a person, I mean, a statue of a person. This is a steward named Sinbai, also 4,000 years old, also from Joseph's day. And he is just like the steward to whom the brothers tried to go back and return their silver. And the steward said, it's all right. It's all right, he said. Don't be afraid. Your God has given you treasure in your sacks. I received your silver. He's not lying. He received their silver. How? Well, somebody had to pay, and it wasn't them. And one guess who? The one man in all Egypt who should never have had to pay for any of the grain that he alone prophesied and planned and produced and possessed and provided after being sold out and sold into slavery by these very men. That guy, he willingly paid the price himself. Because you can't outgive God. And he knew that. Because we get infinitely more than we bargain for. Because everything, listen close, everything we gain and everything we give is always and only for our eternal best. You can't earn your salvation, but boys, you gotta surrender all you got to our Savior. That's how we make him Lord of our life. You see, we get the treasure and then we get the test. Because the test is whether or not we'll share the treasure. So first, we got to see truth as treasure. Then we got to seek it and find it and secure it in our heart, right? And then we got to share the wealth. But it's got to come from your heart. In fact, don't even bother unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Okay? So wash the evil from your heart and be saved. But hey, this is us. Thanks be to God that you have come to obey from your heart. You know, doing the will of God from your heart. So let's sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. And in so doing, banish anxiety from your heart. Only be careful. Watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart. We naturally share what we love. Movies, restaurants, beaches, hotels, cars, recipes, you name it, we share it. If we love it. Because we won't share what we don't love. Right? And we can't love what we don't first have in our heart. And we can't have what we won't get to know. Your favorite restaurant will never be one you've never been to. That's just the way it is. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we'll end on this question. What type of treasure is your mouth telling this world that you're storing up? The temporary, decaying, rotting, and corroding type? Or the eternal, joyful, faithful servant type? Because we have an obvious choice in the meaningful moments. We can assume we know. Or we can know we love. So I have to ask, do you assume you know Jesus? Or do you know you love Jesus? Do you assume you know his word? Or do you know that you love his word? Do you assume you know others? Or do you know that you love them from the heart? In other words, are you going to invest what's treasured in your chest, or just take another puff? Let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you, and now we're going to sing to you from our heart. Holy Spirit, inspire us and empower us to treasure up truth and share the wealth. Lord Jesus, you are our light and life and the truest treasure of our Father's kingdom. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.